Brothers and sisters, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11 this morning. Luke chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 13 this morning. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. That's our passage, our text before us today. And beginning in verse 1, the Lord says this to us. As it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him." And from inside he shall answer and say, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him?" Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you even now. And Lord, I pray we come in faith, believing what we just read from you, that he who asks receives. Father, I pray that as we ask, as we seek, as we knock, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and within us. Lord, we need you. We need the Holy Spirit desperately. We in and of ourselves have no strength, no wisdom, no ability. We're very weak creatures. But, oh Lord, by the power of your Spirit, we find all we need. And so we ask you, our Father, who loves us, and we know you love us because you put to death your only son for us. So we come in his name, and we ask you to cause this word to have its way in us today, that we would hear our God, and by faith we'd submit to it, and not just agree with it, but we would be diligent to seek to carry it out, to truly do what faith does, to obey it. To go from here, not be a forgetful hearer, but to go from here and put it into practice. So, Lord, I pray with whatever place we are in our walk and our prayer life, this is most clearly about, that you would cause us to give ourselves even more. And that we would trust your word. And we come with all our heart to you. So, Lord, cause this word to bear fruit, so that you would receive the glory, you would be hallowed, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, if you were here, you will remember that we looked at a passage in which Jesus made it very clear of the importance of spending time alone with Him and time under His Word and His instruction, right? As He said, there's nothing more necessary than this. And since we're all prone to be Marthas, right? To be Marthas, and to allow things, good things, but things, just anything, to become so big, so necessary, and so much so that it will keep us from that which Jesus says is the only necessary thing, right? I pray that we would all heed Christ's words from last week, and that we are, you know, seeking to give ourselves to Him and be diligent to come and practice that all-important duty of sitting at Christ's feet, coming under His Word, listening to His instruction for our life. For it says in Deuteronomy, your Word is life. It is of utmost importance. Now, as we turn to our passage for today, we come to a call to another very important duty, which is prayer, right? It's obviously instruction in prayer. And I would say that if, you know, sitting under the Word and being instructed via the Word, being instructed by Christ via the Word is priority number one, well, prayer is priority number 1A, right? And I say that because they're equally important, really, and really you can't separate the two. They go hand in glove. If you're sitting under Christ's feet and hearing and being instructed in His Word, you're praying at the same time. And when you're praying, the Word better be what's leading you in those prayers. You really can't have one without the other. That's why I'm not surprised then that the Lord here would instruct us in these back-to-back, right? All important, being in the Word of Christ and being a person of prayer. That's what, these are just foundational to be a disciple of Christ. Now, as we look at this passage and the idea of just the importance of prayer, it no doubt teaches us the importance of prayer, and we'll look at that, right? But it also, and even more so, really teaches us the importance of not just that we should pray, but that we pray rightly, right? Because that's obviously what Christ does here. He's teaching us, right, how to pray. And so that's something that I think we all ought to, when we come to this, be able to understand and put ourselves under, that we need to learn from Jesus how to pray and keep on learning from Jesus how to pray. And again, this is how He instructs us in this entire passage. And I would think you would see that as valuable, because if you're not praying rightly, you can pray all you want to little to no avail, right? And James tells us that it's the effective prayers of a righteous man that availeth much. There are prayers that availeth much. And, well, you've got the righteous man, right? Well, Christ makes us righteous, but that righteous man then learns to walk in righteousness and pray rightly, right? Christ teaches us that. Well, how so? Well, here's what I want to do as we go through the passage. I want to break it down. We're going to look at four ways in which Christ teaches us to pray rightly here in these instructions. Four ways. And just so you know, we're only going to get to the first way today, right? We're only going to get to the first way because we've got just a lot of preliminary stuff to dig into before we get into those. But there's going to be four ways total as we break it down, and then probably some subways under there, but four ways. And that first way, what we'll look at today eventually, is Christ teaches us to pray rightly by teaching us to pray to the right person. He teaches us to pray to the right person. Now we're going to look at verses 1 and the very first part of verse 2 today, for that will be our context, all right? So we see here, as we look at verse 1, the context for this entire text, right, this event that happens with Jesus and His disciples occurs. The context is there is a time when Jesus was praying. Now, it's not told, we're not told explicitly, but it looks as if this is not one of those times when Jesus is off apart from His disciples praying, right? It looks as if his disciples, if they're not praying with him, they're at least with him and they hear him pray. That's what's heavily implied here. But the reality is, again, that it is a time when Jesus is praying. Now, we see Jesus praying again. This shouldn't surprise us, right? Because what have we seen throughout our study of Luke? Well, we've seen that Jesus is a man of prayer. And his pattern of his life is that he spends time in prayer. Again, we see the pattern of Jesus. He prays. He's a man of prayer. This, again, calls us and tells us of the importance of the duty of prayer for a follower of Christ. Again, Jesus is our Lord. He's the one we follow. If we see him, he's a man of prayer. That calls us and go, oh, this is what I'm to be, right? A man, a person of prayer. You see the importance. But then you just add to that call and that importance. And here, when the disciples are with him and they see the example and they hear it, they're called to it too. And they like, Jesus, teach us to pray, right? So again, that just adds to here the weight of the call to the believer to be a person of prayer in general, to give themselves to the discipline of prayer. You know, prayer is not for the believer to be an occasional duty. It's, as John MacArthur said, it's to be a way of life. Prayer is highly important. All of Scripture tells us this. It's not just this little passage and not just the little snippets of where we see Jesus praying. All of Scripture, if you see it and hear it by faith, is calling God's people to be a person of prayer. You know, I won't even reference all the many examples in the Old Testament of all the saints of old and how they were people of prayer and how they called out to God. And I won't even call you to look at all the prayers and psalms as we go through them. My goodness, it's a prayer book. Yes, it's a song book, but it's a prayer book. We're so many examples of that. But I will give you just a few references in the New Testament that just point us to how important prayer is. Matthew 26:41 says, Jesus told his disciples, keep watching and praying. Luke 18:1, we are told this, we are to, at all times, we ought to pray. Romans 12:12 tells us we are to be devoted to prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times. Colossians 4:2 says, devote ourselves to prayer. Philippians 4:6, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we are to pray without ceasing. Again, these are just a few examples, but you hear the call of Scripture, the examples of Scripture. We learn by prescription, right? It's prescribed to us, and we also learn just by the examples of Scripture. Prayer, prayer, prayer. We are to be people of prayer. I highlight the importance just generally this morning because I just know our need as believers, to be reminded and encouraged in the importance of prayer. And I know the need to be reminded and encouraged in it because I know just that prayers, we don't just fall into prayer, do we? We don't just naturally give ourselves to prayer. See, prayer is a labor. Prayer is a hard work, right? And that's why we need to be encouraged into it, right? We need to be encouraged and exhorted to give ourselves to this labor, this work that God calls us to, right? Why is it such a hard work? Well, it's because the old man is constantly resisting that. That's why we don't just fall into it. The old man, the old man of the flesh does not want to give itself to prayer. Why? Because prayer is a work of the Spirit. Remember in Ephesians, we were called to pray, that verse says pray at all times in the Spirit. If you go on and look at that verse up. The prayer, true prayer, is a work of the spiritual man. Well, the Scriptures tell us that, you know, we who are believers, while we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us and we've been made alive again, born again of the Spirit, well, the old man's still there too. And they battle against each other, do they not? Scriptures tell us that the one's always trying to get supremacy. There's a battle that's going on. Because of that, prayer is one of those battlefields. where the war rages between the old man of the flesh and the spiritual man. So I want to call us to the importance of this battle and encourage us to give ourselves to this, right, and not give in to the old man, which will, it wants to do anything besides pray, right? The old man of the flesh wants to do anything, right? Oh, I need to go dig a sewer line out back. I better go do that instead of giving myself, you know, whatever he can give himself to, he'd rather do that than pray because it's the work of the Spirit, very important. We must give ourselves to that. You know, for the lost person who doesn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, prayer can never be and will never be anything other than a dry ritualistic task, right? I mean, you can try, you will, but not for the born-again believer have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And so it's a work, it's a very lively work of the Spirit where the Spirit of God within us is seeking to commune with God who is Spirit, right? So, but that still is going to be a battle. So it's going to be a matter of faith. We're going to need to die to ourselves or to take up our cross, deny the old man, and by faith do what God calls us to do and to be people of prayer. We just want to see the importance of it here. And because of the battle within us, why we always need to be called up to it. It's why Jesus is here, is calling us up to it, right? Persist in it. Don't give up because the flesh wants to give up and not pray. Now, moving a little further, as we see just the importance of prayer, going on into further into verse 1, as I noted before, as Jesus was praying, and there he is praying, the disciples, they apparently hear it, and as he's finished, he asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he says, just as John also taught his disciples. Now, a couple of points here that I want to make before I move on of what we see here. As we see Jesus' disciples asking him, teach us to pray. I hope you see here what he's revealing here is there, we as believers, as disciples of Christ, have a need to be taught to pray. Do you see that? Jesus' disciples then, right? Now think about the disciples. Did they not know how to pray? They knew how to bow their heads, right? Close their eyes and talk to God. Know what prayer is? Just talking to God. It's way more than that, right? And the disciples here were recognizing that. Think about, were they raised probably in proper Jewish homes that were taught to pray? I would say so. They were people who sought the Messiah. Did they not see people pray, see their religious leaders pray? Yes, they did. But they recognized when Jesus prayed that there was something different, right? And then they recognized their lack and they recognized their need. I need to be taught to pray. And so when we see that in them, we ought to understand that we have that exact same need, right? We need to be taught how to pray. Again, it's not that we don't know how to pray and bow our heads and go and talk to God, right? We know it's just talking to God. But there obviously is a way of praying rightly that we need to be taught in. And I'll point this out because I think we miss that. I think we assume that everybody just knows how to pray when they become believers, don't we? Don't we assume that? We just kind of assume, yeah, just talk to God. Just pray. That's all it is. And we assume that on others, the new believers, because it was assumed on us. Even when we might have questions and like, no, well, everybody just assumes they know how to do it. So probably a lot of times can just wing it. Just, okay, I'll just try talking to God, right? But I want us to see here, it all starts with just humbling ourselves and going, wait a minute. We just don't naturally fall into prayer, and we don't naturally fall into praying rightly. And Calvin said, nobody naturally prays rightly, right? Why? Because we're fallen. We all have this need to be taught, right? So I think it begins with a humility of going, yeah, I don't just instinctively know this. Yeah, the Spirit of God's in us, and He will lead us and help us in this, but we still have this need to be discipled. We have this need to be taught, right? And how to pray. And it does take a humility. I know as a young man, even as an older man, I guess it never goes away. It just takes humility, admitting you don't know how to do anything, right? You almost feel lesser if you have to admit, well, I don't know how to do that, right? Because you think, I ought to know how to do that, right? If I'm a man, I ought to know how to do that. But listen, nobody knows anything unless they're taught, right? And we have to humble ourselves even to get to that point. Nobody knows anything unless they're taught. And so we have to humble ourselves and go, I need to be taught how to pray. And if we humble ourselves and see that need that we need to be taught, what do? Well, I think we do what the disciples did first. We go to Jesus and we say, Jesus, Lord, teach me how to pray, right? That would be one of our first prayers, to pray rightly. Lord, teach me how to pray rightly, how you desire for me to pray. And if we do that, I know the Lord, is that the Lord's will that we would learn how to pray? Yeah. Well, we know if we ask according to his will, we have it, and he will begin to teach us how to pray. Well, how's he going to teach us? Well, he'll teach us through this passage, right? And the passages are just like it. If we by faith begin to hear and learn and begin to seek out to walk this out by faith, he'll teach us that. But I think you'll see he'll teach us from all over his word. He'll begin to teach us to pray according to the word, which is praying rightly, right? But again, the point is we just have to, I think, just see we have a need to learn how to pray. It's not just, we just don't fall into it. And then two, the second point we want to make, it's tied into this so close. See here from this passage that was what I was just talking about. Praying, teaching how to pray and learning how to pray is part of the disciple-making process. Right? Jesus' disciples are asking him to disciple them. And one of the ways he's asking them to disciple them is teach me how to pray. Just as who? Just as John taught his disciples how to pray. What did John do in making disciples? He taught them how to pray. Do you see it? Teaching how to pray or coming under and learning how to pray. Whichever end of the disciple-making process you're on, you know how you're going in and out of that, right? Like we're either discipling others under us or we're being discipled and we go in and out of that. I thought we never grow out of being able to learn from others in the faith and being discipled. But part of that process is teaching others how to pray and learning how to pray. Like again, we just assume that everybody knows how. We may miss some of that, right? Now, I do think one of the greatest ways that we disciple and teach how to pray in the body, physical body, Jesus does it, right? If you ask him through his word, he does. But he also does it through his physical body. Well, how? Well, through official teaching sessions, well, sure. You know, you can have a discipleship class or something where people say, well, you know, we're going to do this lesson on prayer. We're going to learn how to pray more according to the Word. That's true. But I think he teaches us so much, we disciple each other so much, just by praying with one another and learning by example. How much did you learn how to pray just by being around other believers who you knew were praying rightly? You know, that's different. That man, that woman, man, they're a person of prayer. And we learn, we're called up to that. I think it was Jay Adams that said, he said, we teach by example way more than we realize, right? Man, way more than we intend to, right? And that's how we learn so much in the body. When we're around one another, we hear another believer pray, or we're praying, we're teaching one another how to pray rightly. That's one of the reasons, why we pray the way we do on Wednesday night. I want as many of us who are willing to pray. Because not only we're called to be people of prayer and to make, you know, pray with one another, but we are teaching one another that way, right? But you got to be with one another for that to happen and pray with one another. I learn from you, you learn from me, right? And we learn from each other how to pray when we come together. That's why also, one more little point here, according to the same thought pattern, I think that's why it's important that we pray together at homes as a family. You're going to really disciple your children in prayer. You're going to teach them a lot more by praying with them and them hearing you pray than by just instructing them with the word. You want to instruct them. You want to tell them. When you pray, pray, say this, just like Jesus did, right? You're going to have that. But the disciples were learning from Jesus by hearing him as much as they were too, being taught straight up. So same way with our family, our kids, right? We learn from one another and they hear that. They see that, oh, that's what that looks like, right? It's not just something done at church or maybe just done at the dinner table, but we pray together, right, actually in the Word. It's so important. It's discipleship. Discipleship, you know, what's our, when you're saved, we get our ticket to heaven, right? Woo, yes, the great hope, that's true. But then you're given a work to do until you get there. What's your work? Well, I can tell you, if you're a believer, your work's the same, generally speaking, and it's that. The Great Commission, make disciples, teaching them, right, to observe all that I've commanded you. Right here is part of it. It's no less than learning how to pray with one another, right? Pray the way right. So we just need to see. There's a need that we all have. If we're going to be discipled, disciple, it's prayer. So you see it. All right, so let's move on toward Jesus actually answering their request, right? As he does. He gets right to it when they ask him. He's like, yes, here you go. When you pray, say. And then this is the rest of our passage, right? Verse 2 through 13. A couple of points about the passage as a whole, the instructions and how to pray as a whole. First of all, notice that, I'm sure you noticed that what Luke has recorded here in verses 2 through 4, when he says pray like this, it's very similar to what you find in Matthew, isn't it? You remember in Matthew in chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount? Right? There's a lot of similarities. It's all, but there's a few variations. Because of that, some believe that this is just Luke's version of that same event. Right? This is Luke's recording of Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He puts it here. And the reason is just he didn't do it exactly, write down exactly as Matthew wrote it. So there's just a few variations. That's possible, but I don't believe that. I believe this is a completely different event. And Jesus is simply teaching on prayer the same way he always taught on prayer, right? When he was asked to teach on prayer, it should be no surprise that the essence of his teaching is going to be the same. I mean, you go ask me to teach on something, a matter of truth, in different places, the essence of it's going to look the same, right? Because I'm not going to, truth is truth and it doesn't change. And so you see, my opinion is a different event. Jesus just teaching on prayer looks very similar. On that note, just so you know ahead of time in the next couple of weeks as we go through this passage, I will fill in, for completeness sake, a few of the things from Matthew's passage that aren't here, right? So just kind of complete the teaching on prayer. The other note I want to say this, because Jesus says, when you pray, say this. When he says that, he gives these instructions, I don't believe that he's simply telling us to say verbatim what he says. And just repeat it, right? You know, the Lord's Prayer. He's not saying, when you pray, say exactly this every time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. You know, no. If that's the way we took this and this is the way we lived it out, I think we would end up doing what I fear so many do that do consider this that way. Just being in vain repetition. You know what vain repetition is? You're just repeating something, but you're doing it vainly because it doesn't mean anything to you. You just say it, right? No different than Hail Mary, full of grace, or any vain repetition that somebody just repeats all the time. The Lord's Prayer can easily become that, right? Nothing wrong with saying it exactly verbatim. You can pray this, absolutely. But if you just do it verbatim and vain repetition, you really won't end up praying at all. You're just doing a duty and you're saying a task. So I don't believe that's what he means. I mean, believe what he's teaching here is he's giving us here a skeleton, a pattern, a framework, if you will, for us to form our prayers upon, right? When he's saying, when you pray, say this, he's going, may these elements be there, and you fill it in, right? But you want to make sure you pray according to this pattern because this pattern is the right pattern, right? It was one of the Puritans, and it could have been Thomas Watson or Brooks. I can't remember which exactly. I was studying one of his, a little bit of teaching on this, and he says how gracious it is for him to give us this pattern, because if we will stick to it, we have assurance that we pray according to his will, right? Because this is how he wants us to pray. That's his will. And again, he pointed out, if we don't stick to the pattern, we probably won't pray according to his will, because we just don't fall into that. We need to be taught and be brought in. So again, he's given us the pattern to form our prayers on. And I'll speak to this later, next week, but also I believe there's a general good order here for us, generally speaking. Now, it doesn't have to be rigid, but there's an order to the way you come to these things, and I'll talk about why. Generally, very generally. So, pattern. All right, so again, and what is this pattern? What are the principles? Well, Jesus here, we're going to just begin on this first one, which Jesus teaches us first to pray to the right person, right? And what I mean by that is when we come to God in prayer, he's teaching us to know who it is exactly we're coming to and what his disposition is toward us in prayer, right? That's what he's teaching us to recognize when he says, who do we pray to? We say, when you pray, say, Father. Matthew says, our Father. We may miss this, but this was extraordinary for Jesus to teach this way. It was extraordinary for Jesus himself to call God Father, even though we'll go, of course he should. He's the Son of God. But this was unheard of until Jesus did this. In the Old Testament, people didn't call God Father. You don't ever see it, right? But Jesus always did. And this is one of the big reasons that he easily ticked off the religious leaders. It's because when Jesus called God Father, they knew what he meant. He was claiming deity. He was claiming to, when he's calling God Father, he's saying, I'm of the same nature as God is. That's what you mean when you're a father or a son, right? You're of the same nature. You look at when people are called sons of whatever in the scriptures, they're saying you're the same nature. Jesus called the Pharisees, you sons of the devil, right? They meant they're devils are father because they're of the same nature. And sons of disobedience are of the same thing, but that's what Jesus was claiming, right? So it was extraordinary that he did it himself. Now we come to this point where he didn't just do it himself, but now he's saying, you my disciples, you call God Father. Now, how can that be? Because Jesus, yeah, we get it. He was divine. Of course God is his Father. He should address him. But now he's saying, we should call him Father. Now, is he saying that we are gods? No, he's not. You know, if we were never God always, we can never become God. You know, I always think that you can become a God. You cannot become God. That you're either God or you're not, right? So he's not telling us that, but he is teaching us what he's implying here, what we are taught in scriptures, is that through Christ's work, right, we are actually brought into this position of being seen and known by God as his children. An amazing thing. You know, it tells us in John, those who received Christ, were given the right to become children of God. And we're taught in Ephesians that through Christ we've been adopted as children, right? We are adopted in. How does that work? Well, I can't tell you all the ins and outs of it, but the truth is when we're saved, God, right, in the spiritual realm takes us and puts us, baptizes us by the Spirit into Christ. Yes, his Spirit's put in us, but we're put into Christ. And so therefore, when we're seen by God, we're seen as Christ is seen. And therefore, we're seen as his children. We literally are. And that's why in Hebrews, Christ isn't ashamed to call us what? Brethren. We're called his brothers, right? Because and so Christ is often referred to as our elder brother. And so we literally are, because of Christ and his atoning work, right? Cleansing work of his blood, we are actually made to be children of God. And therefore we ought to address him as Father, knowing that, by the way, two things here. This is nowhere near what some people mean when they say, well, everybody's a child of God. That's not what's meant here. Yes, it's true, generally speaking, because God is creator of all, we're all children of God in that way. But this is way more in depth than that. This is way more intimate. This is way bigger and greater than that. This is, no, we literally are seen and adopted in to His family and are seen by God as His children. Two, with that, knowing and understanding this, we ought to say, what a privilege it is to be able to call God Father when we come to Him in prayer. It ought not be a, it's so tempting to let it be, because we address God in all kinds of names that I don't know if we even think about it when we do it, but to go Father, that come out of our lips, that ought to be go, wow, what a privilege to be able to call the God, the creator of all this world and universe, our Father. And it ought to automatically bring us into mind of how that is, and it's the gospel. So every time we pray and we address Him as Father, it ought to remind us of the gospel. It is by Jesus and His great work on the cross and redemption and resurrection that He has made it possible to make us children of God, and we can call Him our Father. So when we come in the name of Jesus, we really do only come in the name. It's only by His power and work and name that we come, but we do come in the name of Jesus. And we're made children by what He's done. And so He's teaching us this. When you come to God, know you're coming to your Father. He sees you as your children, as His children. That doesn't mean that we can't pray to God by using some of His other names, does it? No. We can, and I would recommend too to call on Him by many of His beautiful, majestic names, right? El Shaddai, God Almighty. Jehovah Jireh, or, Yahweh Yireh, as He says, God, our provider. Alpha and Omega, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, right? On and on. Just the beautiful names that we should remember, because that helps us remember who it is we pray to. But He's saying, oh yeah, come as Father, because He wants us to know who we're praying to. We're praying to one that we don't have to come in fear of like the pagans do. How do the pagans come before their God? They come in fear and they're bringing sacrifices or whatever, why? To appease Him so that they don't get destroyed, right? As believers in Christ, we don't have to come in that kind of fear. We'll see later, we do come in the right fear, but not that kind of fear. Because of Jesus, we come and we can draw near and come boldly to one who sees us as His child. We can draw near to that throne like a child, to the throne of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We don't pray to a far-off, distant God. When God becomes far off and distant, just know, I'm in a bad place. I need, Lord, help me get back to seeing You rightly. You truly are our Father, and You see us as Your children, and therefore You desire for us to come near. You love us, and He desires to give us what we need, just like an earthly father. We'll get to that later. You saw how, as an earthly father, don't you want to give your child a good gift when they ask? Isn't that just naturally what you want to do, right? Yes, right? You do. And He's saying, if you're evil and you do that, just imagine how much God the Father is perfect, wants to give you what you need, right? You see, here's the thing. Our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need, right? So He's going to supply that, not necessarily what our heart wants, right? He wants to get our heart right. But in all that, to just know that He wants us to come to Him as Father. That's how we want to approach the throne. If we do believe Him to be that loving Father who loves us so much, won't we go all the more quickly and all the more closely and boldly and just sit at His feet and want to commune with and be loved by our Father? And just what a privilege. I will add this. This is one thing that Paul says is even evidence of our salvation, is knowing God as your Father. See, His Spirit cries out to our spirit that we're His. And when that's true, we cry out, what does Paul say? Abba, Father. Remember, said prayer is a spiritual work, a spiritual act. It is. It's the spirit. We're born again. This Holy Spirit's put in us, and He's telling us, you're a child of God. You can approach Him as your Father because He is your Father. And we cry out, Abba, Father, and we want to come near. This is what Paul says. This is how we know Him, right? Now, so we want to approach Him as Father. Finishing this up here, I'm going to add in just a little bit for us. We know who we're coming to from Matthew. We know the Lord's Prayer. It's not just, He just says here, Father, and goes into hallowed be thy name. Matthew says, and Jesus says what? Pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven. This is beautiful. We need to remember this. This balances it out so that we don't go too far with the Father thing, right? As some do, some, you know, God become too casual, right? Like, He's more like bring Him down to our level and He's our buddy, that kind of Father. No. He is our Father and He loves us and we can draw near, but He's still who's in heaven. He sits on the throne. He's ruling reign. He's holy. He's not like us. So we don't go in fear like the pagans, but we do come in fear and reverence of a God who is in heaven. So we know who we really are coming to. And there's another benefit to this. If we really remember God as our Father who's in heaven, if He's in heaven, He's on His throne, guess what? He has all power and authority. Guess what He can give us? Anything He wants to. He has all the resources in heaven and earth. There is nothing impossible with God. And we can know if we need it, He can supply it. If we need the sun to stand still so we can complete the work He's given us, guess what? He can do that. If we need the sea to part so we can escape from our enemies, guess what? He can do that. If we need the skies to be shut up and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years, right? So that God can be known and get the attention of a wicked king and a wicked government, God can do that, right? Whatever the request might be. So this encourages when we come, pray big, right? We're afraid sometimes to pray big or even pray little. I don't want to bother God with that. No, nothing's too big, nothing's too small. Whatever was truly needed, God has the resources to give us and He wants to give it, right? So it's so important we know. When we come, who do we come to? We come to our Father who is in heaven. Brothers, that's just the beginning, right, of the teaching here of Jesus on teaching us how to pray, right? Is prayer important? Absolutely. But it's just as important to know how to pray. So may we give ourselves to this and seek to hear God. God, teach me, right? I hope that's been my prayers. I'm going through, Lord, teach me how to pray here. I'm not the teacher. I'm a vessel. God's the teacher, and it's through His Word. Lord, may we all come and just learn how to pray more rightly according to His will, and we'll be blessed because of it, right? But again, we'll get into that next time, all right? More on how to pray. Let us now just remember as we leave when we pray. We don't pray to some far-off, distant God, one that we need to fear and appease with some sacrifice. He's been appeased. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And because of Him, He's our Father and He loves us. And He bids us come boldly and confidently. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, what a privilege. You see us as children. You've made wretched sinners your children. And You're making us through Christ holy and blameless so we can be approach You and be with You forever. Thank You and praise You there. Thank You for the work of Jesus that makes that possible. It's all because of Him, and He gives all the praise and glory. I ask, Lord, You tell us to ask and seek and knock. I ask that You would teach us all how to pray. Teach us how You desire us to pray. Teach us what elements and parts You want in our prayer. May we learn and go and walk in faith and pray according to Your will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.